The Weekly Long Box is brought to you this week by Handy Holder. Do you have a tablet device? What if you were to accidentally drop it on the floor and break it? With Handy Holder, you would never have to worry about that again. Visit hand, the letter E, holder.com to learn more about the world's best universal tablet holder. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 41 of the Weekly Long Box. I'm Leonard, joined this week and every week, guaranteed, by Todd. Todd, how are we doing this evening?
Good, good. That's right. I'm guaranteed every week. I have no life. I live to do this podcast.
This evening, this is a hint to everyone to listen to this at night. You know, one of these days we're going to have an after dark episode, I think, where we start saying a bunch of like 4 and 5 letter words.
Ooh, can we drink while we do it?
It'll be a premium. Oh, don't even get me started on that. It'll be a premium episode. You'll have to pay for it, maybe.
Ooh, 99 cents or nothing. That's our motto with our premiums.
Yes, it'll just go into the pile of our usual get poor slow schemes.
I like that. I think I'm getting that tattooed on my arm.
Get poor slow.
Yep.
Oh, so what do we got to talk about this week?
Oh, there's lots, I believe.
There certainly is. We got a lot of news. You know, it's a 5 Wednesday month, so there's still lots of comics to read, but there was tons and tons of news over the last 7 days. Specifically, Wonder Woman and Superman are hooking up in comics, and I fumbled over our previously scripted lines here already.
That's okay, because I never mess up. But the way I look at it is, at least they're on Match.com. That's what I really like.
Yeah, we'll get into that. That's the one thing that really hammers it home for me.
Yes, me too. We'll discuss.
We have discussions of creators leaving books in the near future.
The ones at DC?
Oh, no. It's ones at Marvel. But I think there might be some DC stuff to talk about. Fan Expo was this past weekend in Toronto. There was no picture of any of our listeners meeting Rich Evans or any of the folks from Red Letter Media. So the prizes are still on the table to be awarded at a predetermined time. But there was a ton of news that came out of it, tons of new books, tons of new creator shifts. It was a very eventful con for comics.
Seemed like there was a lot of stuff coming out of there. And I've never, you know, heard a lot of people go into the Canada one. So, you know, I've never been to it.
And,
don't mind me, I'm fumbling too today.
That's okay. It's we got information about a huge thing going on over at Comixology regarding Image Comics. If you're a digital person or even if you're not, it's a really interesting thing. I don't know how long it's going on for. Hopefully still by the time this episode comes out. Our weekly update on the Gail Simone, Jim Calafiore Kickstarter project. Was there anything else in the news from last week that we're missing?
Oh, you're forgetting one thing. That little hiccup on Twitter?
Oh, that's right. The whole misogosh with the creator, the DC thing going back and forth with the personal stuff on Twitter. Yeah, we'll definitely get to that. We'll definitely get to that. But we have books that we read last week. Todd and I both read All-Star Western number 12, An Amazing Spider-Man. And we've got some other books in there from last week. We also got the book that we're most looking forward to coming out this week, and our weekly Twitter question from last week, which was, what is your favorite alien race in all of comic books? I'll be honest with you. I've been reading comics a long time, and a lot of these DC ones I have never heard of.
I know most of them that I've been reading, so I should be able to help you with some of them.
Yes, and I'll do my best at butchering the pronunciations of the names of these alien races. Some of them are a little more difficult than others. So let's dive right into the news. The big news, it was one of those things where it came out like a week before the book comes out. Justice League 12 comes out today. A week before it comes out, DC press releases it. You know, they do the same thing Marvel does. And they press release that at the end of the issue, I guess, that comes out this week, Superman and Wonder Woman are now an item in the new 52.
Spoiler alert, Leonard, come on.
Spoiler alert. It was on, like, USA Today, and, like, it was on, like, Entertainment Weekly and News.
Good Morning America. Yeah. And everything.
It's all over the place. And I personally don't think that this is that big of a deal, because I think most non-comic book people just assumed Superman and Wonder Woman were together.
I do, too, at some point, with a few exceptions. Like, they think, well, you know, Clark Kent and Lois Lane got together later. So at some point in his lifetime, they were dating. You know, so, you know, like I said, the mass population compared to the comic book readers have two different visions on a lot of stuff.
And then even further still from the old Justice League Unlimited cartoon where they had Batman and Wonder Woman romantically linked. That's where my wife gets her knowledge of these characters from. And when she saw this, she goes, I thought Wonder Woman was with Batman. I'm like, that's only on the cartoon. And she's like, ah, who cares then?
The cartoon is the way to go for her, I guess.
Yes, yes. That's the thing. The cartoon is the way to go for a lot of people. You know, whether it be the old Justice League Unlimited or the Teen Titans cartoon.
No word to lie. I don't know how many times when your favorite movie was coming out, Green Lantern with Ryan Reynolds, people were coming in the shop going, how come Green Lantern's not black?
Yep.
Honestly, and I get it and I understand it. Because, like I said, you know, when they made the Hulk movies, it wasn't a gamma bomb. It was like, you know, a medical experiment because that millions of people have seen the Hulk TV show. And that's what, you know, they know. Only like on a good like Justice League, it's like 100,000 now people who read Justice League. But seeing the cartoons and everything, it's in the millions.
Yep, exactly. And those are like constantly on, you know, Cartoon Network, Boomerang, The Hub, and all these other stations. So, you know, luckily what goes on in the Batman animated series is really close to what goes on, you know, for the most part in the Batman comic books.
Right. They do stay pretty loyal to it.
Yeah, they stay pretty loyal to it. But again, is this a big deal that Superman and Wonder Woman are together in the DC New 52?
Nope. Sorry, I'm just going to say it. Nope.
It is a big deal that they have Match.com profiles.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. You don't think this was a pre-planned thing at all, or do you think it was just a spur of the moment?
When Superman won Most Kissable Superhero, I knew the fix was in.
Oh my God! I don't know. I think if you really voted, it'd probably be Tony Stark.
Probably just because. Actually, you know what? As most things are determined by this household, it would be Thor, just mostly based on it being Chris Hemsworth.
Ah, we have a thing for Chris Hemsworth?
Well, not me. I'm more
of a Tony Stark. Oh, I thought you were talking about you. I'm sorry.
No.
Because I've been told I look like retired Thor from, like, you know, like when he's down and out. So maybe, you know, I do it for people, you know?
And I look like Clark Kent if he really, really let himself go.
Ah. That's our Halloween costumes this year.
My Halloween costume is man trying to avoid other people.
Ah, when is that? Many years.
Oh, goodness. So, yeah, the Match.com profiles is, like, really corny and cheesy. And I'm sure it didn't cost much money. I'm sure there was a deal struck between Warners and the people who run Match.com. But, you know, it's really cheesy. And, like, how many people are going to go out and buy Justice League 12 today or this week or, you know, digitally or whenever that comes out because Superman and Wonder Woman have Match.com profiles?
I don't know. I'm waiting to see the Match.com in the issues. Like, you know, just, like, on somebody's, like, screen or something. Like, the ads be in the comic like they do with Coca-Cola in the movies. Because that's when I'll be like, this is awesome. And also, I found it funny that the regular cover with them kissing on it, like, it's not the variant. The variant's an Aquaman cover. Was going for, like, $20 at one point.
Okay.
I was like, this book sells, like, a kajillion copies. Like, why are you buying it, like, pre-ordering it on eBay for $20? Go to your comic shop. They'll probably have a bucket load.
Well, again, go to your comic shop. We've talked about it before on the show. There's a lot of people that just don't have comic book shops nearby them.
Yeah, but also, I mean, buying it now for like 20, I'm not talking about bidding it up. I'm talking like buy now for $20. I don't know. Maybe I'm wacky.
And listen, we'll get into it later in the show when we talk about books that came out this past week with Batman Inc. number 3. It was held back a month at the behest of DC after everything that had happened during the midnight showing of The Dark Knight Rises. But, you know, that was a book that was shipped to retailers. It was going to be released. It's not like it was delayed or something like that. And there were people that were selling that on eBay for, like, crazy amounts of money, like upwards of, like, $30, $40.
Yep. And I mean, but you know what? I know that sounds funny, but that one I at least, I can understand that one a little more. People might have read something and went, oh, because of it, they're not putting it out anymore, misread it. I know what you're saying, but with Justice League, it's just like they kissed, let's go crazy. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the deal was that they thought with this. I don't know.
Yeah, your guess is as good as mine on that one. So, you know, if Warner's had struck a deal with, like, OK Cupid or Ashley Madison or something like that, then it might be a bigger deal.
Ashley Madison, do they make cupcakes and stuff?
No, I think I don't know what you're thinking of, but no, Ashley Madison.
Dolly Madison, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
There you go. Ashley Madison is the one that specifically advertises, oh, this is our site where you can cheat on your spouse.
Oh, that's the good one.
You want to get edgy? You want to get crazy in the new 52? That's what they should have did.
Yeah, oh, that would have been awesome.
Oh, goodness. Well, just continuing off, getting off the Superman, Wonder Woman stuff, one of the big stories that came out, and this happens a lot after we record the show when it goes up on a Wednesday, tons of news comes out like on that Wednesday, Thursday. Sometimes it gets leaked a little bit early. Sometimes it's just the natural course of things. But Ed Brubaker is officially leaving Marvel and Winter Soldier with issue 14, I think, in this December. Is it issue 14 or 15? And it's a really interesting story with what's going on there. It's actually issue, 14 is his last issue, and then a new writer, Jason Latour, who is currently doing some bits and drabs for Marvel right now. But in an interview, Brubaker said that the book was actually going to be canceled around issue 12, but then sales started to pick up a couple months ago when it was announced that the next Captain America movie was going to be Winter Soldier based. And it kind of gave the book a little bit of life, which is why Brubaker stuck on the book for, you know, what he's going to until the end of the year. And then, you know, we knew he was off Captain America. He had no other projects at Marvel. And he has said that this is going to be the end of his superhero stuff for a while.
You know, and this makes me sad because this is one of my favorite, like, little Marvel books that almost seems like, you know, we talked about it before, like when you're at a certain tier at Marvel, they kind of leave you alone. And this is one of those books that seemed like, you know, just he wasn't tied into everything for the first 9 issues and he didn't have crossovers and whatever. And I just really love it. He's the only one who, you know, has written Bucky Barnes since he's been back as Cap, as Winter Soldier and everything. He just seems like he has the vision for him. I'm not saying, you know, somebody can't come on and it'll be wonderful. It's one of those books for me now that it's hard to think of anybody else writing Bucky. I don't know. Not that I won't give this guy a chance. I will. It's just, it just makes it a big uphill, like, you know, battle for this guy, I think.
Right. And that's exactly my thoughts on this. And I will say this, with him leaving Captain America, you know, Cullen Bunn is doing some of the issues now. And I know you've already left Captain America. Brubaker is doing one last issue before it relaunches with Remender at the helm. And then Jason Latour taking over Winter Soldier come this January. I'm more inclined to give Winter Soldier a look under the new writer, Remender. He's one of those guys, like, I might try that first issue of Cap, but he's one of those guys that's really hit or miss with me, and we've talked about guys that I feel that way about on the show, where right. they're, like, they're revered by people for their writing and everything else that they do, but there's just something about their writing that just doesn't hit a chord with me. Like, the recent Hawkeye book is the first thing that Matt Fraction has written that was really connected with me. Everything else he's done seems, I don't want to say over my head, that's more so Kieran Gillen stuff. Kieran Gillen's too smart of a writer for me. Like, I feel like a dummy when I read his stuff. But Remender's stuff is really hit or miss with me. Like, I'll try his Cap, but I'm more inclined to stick with Winter Soldier, even with a new writer.
I'm the same way. And knowing that Captain America's only got one more issue before the relaunch makes me almost think about buying it. I don't know if you know what I mean with that. But I'm with you. I think we may have even talked about this with Rick Remender. I don't even remember anything that he's done that I've read. So yeah. That's like a I'm not trying to swipe at him, but that's the way it is. So, like, this guy, at least he's a new, I'll always give a new writer a chance over somebody that I don't, you know, care for or remember. So I'll definitely give it a couple issues on Winter Soldier. But it makes me sad that Brubaker's leaving, you know, superhero comics. But then again, we got a lot of, like, great stuff coming from him. I'm enjoying his Fatale and, you know, I Incognito and stuff like that. And there's a lot of stuff that I've missed that I'll probably go back and get. You know, like, I don't think I've ever read his Criminal.
Well, I think we've talked about this on here before. You've read Gotham Central before?
Most of it. I think he leaves to the point that I've read it. I haven't read it all.
Right, because I know it's him and Rucka back and forth, and that's when him and Rucka were doing a lot of stuff on Detective before, you know, they left DC for various reasons. But I was just talking to someone the other day who's just now finally getting caught up. They're one of those people that, like, I can't read the New 52. I have to be caught up. I can't just dive in. And I'm like, well, before you dive in, I go, hey, I know you like this. Go get Gotham Central. It's a, you know, it's one of those great distraction books. It's such a good book. And, yeah, really, Brubaker's one of those great writers that he's one of those guys that I'll just read anything. Like, his name's attached, just put it, you know, add it to my list. No questions asked.
Yep, there's a few writers like that I'm with, too. Like, you know, Brian K. Vaughan. Now, we've discussed it before. I wish I, you know, I wish I read more that Brubaker's on. I like to read his Catwoman now. You know, people have told me good things about his Catwoman. It's just like, you know, I can only do so much. And if you have two or three Brubaker books, you're good for right now. Leave some for later.
So, just continuing off that, that was made official at Fan Expo Canada this past weekend, as was a couple other new books that are coming out. The only real, well, actually, there's a huge book that DC had, but they announced that they're going to add an extra Before Watchmen book in there, focusing on Moloch. And I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that.
It's either Moloch or Moloch, but I think it's Moloch from the movie. I remember it pronounced that way. But I like that character, and he's popped up in some of the comedian's book. And I'm fine with it. Keep going. If you're selling, it's Azzarello, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna.
My apologies. It's Edward Riso on art and Straczynski writing. My apologies.
Oh, okay, fair enough. I had it wrong too. I'll still get it. I'll try the Moloch book. Two issues, not a problem.
And we're gonna get into some of the Before Watchmen stuff later on. But I was thinking maybe next week, since this is another light week of books with the Five Wednesday month, maybe we'll kind of do a Before Watchmen so far discussion next week.
That could be good. I'm just going to say, because I actually have a decent size week this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, about 10 books somehow.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, we'll definitely do a Before Watchmen so far discussion at some point. Maybe not next week, but definitely in the near future. And one of the other big announcement books was a Morbius book spinning out of the current goings-on Amazing Spider-Man by Joe Keating and Rich Elson. The big thing with this is that Keating and Elson were originally penned to do that Thanos miniseries that was canceled before it was solicited and then canceled in the same week that it was printed.
Yep.
And they did go on and they say, oh, the book's coming, just not anytime soon, but we do have something else coming. And Morbius is an interesting character, and especially what they've been doing with him recently in Amazing Spider-Man. I know he's not in the book right now with the new issue that just came out this past week, but I would definitely give a Morbius book a try if it's definitely still tangentially connected to what's going on in Amazing Spider-Man.
Well, you do love your vampires, so
I do.
Like that American vampire, and now you have a Marvel vampire.
Yes.
You'd just be living it up.
But the real big, big news that came out of Fan Expo this past weekend was the new Justice League book that's coming out next year, Justice League of America, written by Geoff Johns with art by David Finch. And we saw some teases of this in the Free Comic Book Day book that came out this past June, where the real Justice League, quote-unquote, the Big Seven, were fighting other people who looked a little bit odd, including the new Green Lantern, who we're going to see in the Zero issue that comes out in just a few weeks, Hawkman, Green Arrow, but Martian Manhunter's on the team, Vibe is on the team.
Bringing back Vibe.
Yes.
Bringing back Vibe. I can't wait. Vibe. I love Vibe.
And I would assume that this is probably going to somehow connect to the Justice League International Annual that comes out today. So, all you speculators out there, if you want to get on the ground floor of this new Justice League of America book, I'm sure that you should pick up that annual that comes out today, because I'm sure that is going to be the seeds of that book coming out. What are your thoughts on this Justice League book coming out? It looks like this might be Johns' replacement if the rumors are true that he's leaving Aquaman.
If he is leaving Aquaman, well, we know he's leaving Aquaman, but as far as that I heard. But if I don't mind it, the only thing is Finch, I don't know. He's not going to make any deadlines with this book. There's going to be fill-ins. But other than that, I'm cool with it. You know, another Justice League book. The team, I don't mind it. I think it's kind of cool. It's, like I said, vibe I love. But I'm going to give it a try and see where it goes, because the premise at least sounds interesting to me. And of all the stuff that when I read Justice League that I liked, Steve Trevor was the thing I liked the most. And he looks like he's going to be the leader of this team.
Well, Martian Manhunter is front and center in that promotional piece that came out, but you put it, you know, exactly my thoughts on this. I am a sucker for David Finch's art. I love David Finch's art, and that promo piece is, like, so awesome. You know what I mean? Like, anybody who sees that, whether you have preconceived notions about what's going on in DC or your feelings on anything, you see that piece of art, and you're like, man, that looks like a cool team, and that looks like it's going to be a cool comic book. However, David Finch is not the most timely artist of them all, and he is currently co-plotting, I think, Dark Knight and still doing the art on that book, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm sure if he is doing a Justice League of America book, his involvement in the Dark Knight book will be short-lived, I'm sure. My question is they said it's coming out in 2013, and they never said when in 2013 it's coming out.
Right.
For all we know, it's coming out December of 2013, which gives David Finch a nice 16-month lead-in time to get those first three or four issues done before they have to start putting fill-ins on it.
I totally agree. You can have a good run to get there, but he won't. You know, it won't last. It won't last. And I don't want to smack the guy around, but that's the way it is. You know.
I'm looking forward to the book. I'm definitely intrigued to see it. You know, we both have talked here about Justice League, the current ongoing book, and our feelings about that. And I don't think either one of us are reading that anymore. Is that correct?
No, I'm not.
And like I said, I'll give this a try whenever it comes out, whether it be early or late 2013. And I'm sure, you know, with the rumors of Johns and Hayes leaving Aquaman to go to the main Justice League book, you know, Geoff Johns being the top dog gets those really, really awesome artists on his book.
Yep, and you know, we're like you said, we're losing another Justice League International, so you got to fill that gap.
Yep,
I can't believe I'm burying another Justice League International.
Oh, it's still, you know what? The original one still exists in all our hearts.
Yes, it does, and I won't put the two of them in the same room. They can't go in the same room. Something bad will happen. It's like antimatter and matter.
Oh, goodness. Well, just real quick before we wrap up the news, two just short things that I want to mention here is if you were a Comixology person, even if you're not a Comixology person, just this past weekend, and it's still going on as of the recording of the show, and I don't know if it's going to be a permanent thing. If it isn't, you should go and act on this like ASAP. But currently through Comixology, all the 2012 Image number ones are free. Through Comixology. And, you know, these are books, you know, the number ones of these issues. When you're talking about books like Saga, when you're talking about books like Thief of Thieves, and you're talking about books like Fatale, even like, they're not number ones, but it's beginning of new creative teams on books like Profit or Glory. These are books that fetch $13 to $15 in the single issues. A lot of these books, the trades aren't even out yet, like books like Hell Yeah or the Manhattan Projects. Even some of the more recent number ones, like Creator Owned Heroes, with Pamiotti and Gray involved in that. I think the first issue of that just came out about two months ago, actually. But every single number one that Image has put out, and we've talked at length on this show, that Image has been having an awesome year of tons and tons of brand new books that are really awesome. You could try them all, 20 books in all, for free through Comixology.
That's a sweet deal. I mean, they're like we said, you know, Image is where it's at right now. Try some new things. It's, you know, different than straight up superhero stuff. As much as I love it, I'm starting to, you know, branch out into these other things and to try a few things. Like I picked up Harvest regularly. Do you know if it's miniseries too or just ongoing? Okay.
You know what? It's actually, you know what? It's funny you mention that Harvest isn't on the list. Ooh.
Interesting. Okay. I just used that. I didn't know, you know, I don't have the whole list in front of me.
Yeah. So. But like, you know, like books like Grim Leaper, which is a miniseries, that's the first issue is there. America's Got Powers. That's, you know, a 6-issue miniseries that's there. You know, so it's just essentially all the number ones, I guess, that have come out. You know, I don't know what the cutoff was, but there's 20 books that you can get there. You know, I could vouch for at least 4 or 5 of them as really good books. You know, as mentioned, Saga, Thief of Thieves, Fatale. Profit was good, just not my cup of tea. The art is really, really good in that book. I really liked Hell Yeah. The creator-owned Heroes book was really good, so definitely check them all out. You know, there's tons of stuff there for you to grab for free. And the other thing that I wanted to mention was, as well, we had mentioned it last week and the week before, as Todd has dipped his toe into the Kickstarter world.
Yes.
With one of our favorite creators, two of our favorite creators, and that is Gail Simone and Jim Calafiore, who were the two creators of possibly the best comic book in the last 10 years, which is Secret Six, which is no longer with us. If you are a fan of that book and a fan of those creators, definitely go check out their Kickstarter. We had talked last week that they were looking to get up to their next goal to get that book up to a hardcover, and it was met. They're currently at $85,000 of their initially tried to get goal of $34,000. So if you are to go and get the project now, which is you can get in at $15, and that is going to get you the hardcover version of the book at 96 pages. And there's tons and tons and tons of other options that you have there. If you've never gone done a Kickstarter, they even have like a little like how Kickstarter works thing right at the front page. But they also announced their next set of stretch goals. The next one would be getting to $92,000, and they have a little bit over 2 weeks to do so, and that is to get Jason Wright, who was the colorist on the Secret Six book, onto the book. And then the next one that they have after that is going from the 96 pages that it currently is up to a book that's 112 pages.
Isn't there something with it's going to be going to Comixology, too?
Yes, 86,000, which they are right knocking on the door and probably will be at the time that this episode drops. That means it'll be as Comixology as a digital book. So that one, the only reason I didn't mention that one, because they're gonna be there. That one's no problem. They've got over 2 weeks. They've got less than $500 to get to that goal. They're going to do it. That's no problem.
You never know. Never know. Push that book. Get it up $500 more.
Right. So it's not like this book isn't going to happen. They're well beyond their goals. It just, this is two creators that Todd and I love very, very much. And if you haven't checked out Secret Six, we've mentioned before when they've had different sales through Comixology. You know, maybe if they can get a Kickstarter to get that second trade of Secret Six back into print, you know, maybe that'll be the next stretch goal.
Yep, in the mortal words of Fry, shut up and take my money.
So definitely go check that out. This one, you know, just based on the creators alone, has the approval of this show.
Yep. Is it time to talk about that little thing? Is it time now? Is it time now? How about now? Now?
I know you've been chomping at the bit about this one. This has been the one that you've been most excited about. Yes. Folks, you know, as I'm sure you guys saw, it was big news, especially over this past weekend, and kind of came to a head over the last couple days. You know, some comic creators had a little bit of a public disagreement on the Twitter machine. You know, started out as just simply as one of the creators talking about how he's sad that the summer is coming to an end.
Yes, he is.
The other one taunting him that the summer is going to continue 25 more days for him. And then it just kind of escalated from there.
It got completely out of control as far as I'm concerned.
I know, especially when the one guy told the other one that your comic book sells because it has words and drawings on pages. Any comic has those things.
Oh, Franco was out of line.
Well, no, we're making a joke because some other creators, John Santris of Word Balloon Podcast, which we've mentioned here before, and Franco, one of the co-creators of Superman Family Adventures, kind of poked a little fun the other day on Twitter about the real news story that happened over the last 7 days. And it's been a tumultuous 7 days in the life of one Rob Liefeld.
Yes, the one and only Rob Liefeld, let's put, because there's no other like him.
Yes.
This whole thing has destroyed my Twitter feed, because I'm following people I would have never followed in my lifetime. Just all of a sudden, he just started lobbing grenades in every direction at one point. It's crazy. But it's basically about him leaving DC and all the editorial changes that drove him nuts and you know, his opinions on things. And I don't know if you know this, Leonard. He's an opinionated guy.
Yes. And I will say this. You know, we've talked at length about Rob here. I tried out his I stayed on the Deathstroke book for an extra two or three issues beyond Todd, who just threw the book in the garbage.
I wouldn't even walk by it where it was on the rack. When it was there, I'd go the other way in the shop.
Rob Liefeld is a very polarizing character in the world of comicdom. As Todd mentioned, he is very outspoken. And I think you can be as outspoken as Rob Liefeld is when you have the sort of money that Rob Liefeld has.
Thank you. That's what I say. When you don't have to worry about your next meal, you can say whatever you want.
Yes. But what it came down to was just this past, I think it was Friday, he had announced that he has walked off the three books that he is currently writing, co-plotting, that is, and doing covers and art for Deathstroke, Savage Hawkman, and Grifter. And it started out simply enough that he was just very upset with the editorial mandates that were being given to him. He even went so far as to make some derogatory remarks against one specific editor.
Yes.
Yes.
And he threw a certain artist under a bus.
I guess, right, was it Matthew Clark is his name?
I think it's a Clark, but I'm not sure if it's Matthew, because there's a couple of Clarks, and I get my Clarks mixed up.
Right, and the editor in question is Brian Smith at DC, and he, you know, really gave him kind of a drubbing on Twitter, and pretty much every other creator in the world came to this guy's defense against Rob. But that, you would think, would be the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
But no, not with Rob Liefeld. Before we even get into the meat of the thing, the Tom Brevoort thing. Tom Brevoort, who's another opinionated fellow in the internet community, is an editor at Marvel. Somebody had asked him if they would consider at this point getting Rob to work on a book there. And he essentially said, I don't want to get on that train right now.
After that flame out or whatever?
Yes, after that Twitter flame out, I can't say I'd be in a hurry to get on that train. Which led to Rob starting to make personal attacks at Tom Brevoort regarding his looks and his weight.
Yes.
And just really, really going to town on the guy. And, you know, I'm not a Tom Brevoort fan. He's just as outspoken. He's as outspoken as Rob is, I think, sometimes without the money.
Yes. I've heard, you know, like I've heard him, like, you know, go off on a few things. I don't know as much as I do about Tom Brevoort as I do Rob Liefeld. So,
yes.
You know, so I'm kind of in Brevoort's corner a little more on this one. But,
so,
and there's more. And yes. It just keeps going.
Yes. And as that ended, Rob was essentially tweeting that Batman is the only book that makes money. That's the only book that gets readers. And that's a book that sells regardless of who's on the book. And then early Saturday morning, Rob tweeted the cryptic message, it's not you, it's never been, it's Batman. What had happened was, apparently, when Rob had made some disparaging remarks about it doesn't matter who is on the book of Batman, someone who is currently on the Batman book, in Scott Snyder,
the head writer
of Batman, contacted Rob privately. Rob mistakenly sent Twitter out to everyone that should have been sent directly, and they proceeded to go back and forth all Saturday morning. Greg Capullo was involved, and then Rob went and posted up images of his direct message back and forth of the private conversation he was having with Scott Snyder. And essentially what it boils down to is Rob making some more derogatory comments in regards to Scott Snyder's ability to get people to read books.
Yes. And that's like pretty much most of it with a few sidebars. But basically where it all starts, and here's the thing, people, I've gotten a few tweets all week like, oh, I can't wait to hear what Todd has to say about Rob's flame out, you know?
Yes.
Because he's opinionated. I'm almost 60% in Rob's corner on what he was saying early on. It's just the way he goes about things that rubs me the wrong way. Everything that's going on that he said at DC, I totally believe is happening. I've seen stuff turn on a dime. I've seen stuff not make sense because, you know, it didn't seem like it was going somewhere, and not for story-wise where they flip it, you know. It's just, no, we're going this way now, and you know, this artist is on this book, and this writer is going over here. So I do believe him, and I've heard some things from other people, too, that totally make, you know, make that what he's saying makes sense. But when he gets crazy and in his mind everything is black and white, he's like a crazier Rorschach. There's only good and there's only bad. And like him going off on Brevoort, and like as far as I'm concerned, Brevoort didn't assail him. He just said, no, we're, you know, with the way he's acting, I don't, wouldn't be smart to bring him in because maybe he'll start talking about us. And Rob goes crazy that this is a slight. I don't get it, you know, like, and starts attacking his weight. Like you said, he's fat, he's this, he's that. And I'm like, just like slow down. He didn't attack you.
Right.
And then like Snyder, you know, whether or not, you know, like some people were saying that was kind of whiny or whatever, but to take, you know, like something from the guy you worked with and direct message and just take pictures of it and throw it out there. I don't know. There's just a word I want to use that we never use on this show, you know, that to describe Rob, what he's done with this. And I agree with a lot of what he says.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm starting to ramble a little bit.
No, I'm with you on this one. You know, we've talked before. We've heard stories from different people in regards to problems they've had with editorial at both offices, whether it be mm-hmm. Marvel or DC. You know, you're essentially dealing with their toys, and what they tell you to do, you do. I just listened to an interview with Bill Willingham the other day on another podcast where he talked about he was, you know, doing Fables, and then he started getting some, you know, some of the core DC books, some of the superhero books, more famously Robin with Stephanie Brown as Robin, and Shadow Pact. And he just said he's in the middle of his book. He gave them his pitch for the next 2 years. And then at issue three, they tell him, they're like, oh, yeah, you need to put Demon on the team. And they're like, well, that's not in my 2-year plan that we agreed on. And he was told it doesn't matter. Put Demon on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Stephanie Brown stuff regarding her, you know, becoming Robin and her getting killed during war, you know, the War Games thing, that was an editorial mandate that he was told had to happen when he took over that book. He was told when the book started, you could do whatever you want, but we're killing off Tim Drake's father and we're killing off Stephanie Brown.
Right.
And then he figured out his stories of where those things would happen, and then his timetable was cut from a year to tell that story to 3 months to tell that story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way it goes sometimes. And sometimes it's frustrating. And sometimes, you know, if you're not the biggest dog in the yard, it's not as easy to get your stuff pushed through.
That's right. If you're not the lead dog, the view never changes.
Right. And we talked about before Geoff Johns, how Geoff Johns gets all the best artists. You know, Scott Snyder is a proven commodity in sales. And one of the things that I wanted to bring up was Rob mentioned during his tirade against Scott Snyder that Batman books, on average, sell 80,000 copies. And that's a good number. In today's market, that's not a number to sneeze at. And he said that only sells based on the fact that it's Batman. Now, there's a lot of Batman books that sell below that. But they're held up by the Batman book that Snyder and Capullo are on. That is consistently the number one or number two book at DC every month, beating Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't happen. You know, there were times when, you know, Justice League was firing on all cylinders and Batman was, you know, just Batman. It was just a book that just came out, like how Wolverine, it was an IP. They're like, put a Wolverine book on the shelves, whether it's good or not, people are going to buy it. But when Wolverine is good, more people buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Batman, there's a certain amount of people that are always going to buy Batman. But when Batman's good, more people are going to buy it. And Scott Snyder's Batman is one of the best comic books of the last 12 months.
Yes, it is. And we've said it a lot of times at the shop. If you ask Dave, he'll tell you, as Batman goes and Superman goes, so goes DC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're good, look out. You know, you can't stop them. Yeah, I totally agree. Like, that, this is one of those things that with Rob, it's black or white. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Is Batman will sell X amount. You've said this, and I'm just rehashing a little ground here. But, you know, you put a good writer on him, and it's going to bump it up to the stratosphere. And I don't think he's giving Scott Snyder the credit
right.
that he deserves. Just because I'm on a character that sells a lot doesn't mean I should just throw it in neutral. Mm-hmm. And Batman, because of that, I don't know how many people I've told, you know, read Batman, or you've told read Batman, or in the shop, was Batman good? Read it. And then they'll come back and they'll go, it's really good. That didn't happen, you know, I don't want to throw a name out because I don't want to insult anybody. But, like, he talked about it, and somebody asked Rob in a tweet, they're like, so you're saying it was Batman the way The Killing Joke sold? And he's like, yep. And I'm like, nope. I'm like, I can find you a lot of trade paperbacks on that shelf that don't sell as well as The Killing Joke, where Batman's the main star. You know, it's all in the create. Brian Boland and Alan Moore, pick two other creators, you know, that it's just not going to happen. And that's where he makes me mad is, and I'm going to say this once. I almost think he's almost a wrestler with the mic. He loves it. I don't know if he believes everything he says. I honestly don't. I think he just likes to stir the pot. Sometimes
I definitely think Rob is the type of guy that doesn't think before he opens his mouth.
Mm-hmm. And then once he does, he's not deviating.
Right.
He won't backpedal once he does.
He doesn't backpedal. And then the other thing is that I don't think he cares, because I think he realizes he's been in this comic industry over 20 years, and mm-hmm. he knows people come and people go. And maybe 5 years from now, maybe 10 years from now, somebody new might be in charge at DC. Somebody new might be in charge at Marvel who doesn't remember this that he did or the previous six things that he did, and might bring him back to do a book.
Exactly. And one of the other things that, like, it wasn't so much like it was certain tweets that would set me off. Like, mm-hmm. one of them, now I know he's a freelancer, and he said he was talking about that. And he has his own company, and I don't know if he has editors for his own, like, his own privately owned stuff. Mm-hmm. But the phrase when he said, I'm a freelancer and editors work for me. I don't work for them. And I'm like, yeah, but freelancers work for big companies. And if it's DC, you work for them.
Right.
You know, like Warner Brothers owns DC, then they have an editor in chief, and then they have editors and then creators, and it works down the line. And he's one of those that it bothers me, because people look at comics in the same way. And I think I might have said this on here before, that we look at, like, athletes, that it's like a privilege to do this stuff. It's still a job. You know what? Sometimes you have to do things you don't like. I have to do things I don't like at my job. You probably have to do things at your super secret science job that you don't like. But like when you're rich, you don't have to.
Right.
You could just say what you want and walk away. And I think people romanticize these jobs way too much.
Yeah. So again, it's just a shame to see creators having this sort of like public slap fight, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it's creators I like in Scott Snyder and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, just to kind of like cleanse the palate, there was a, you know, if you're a Twitter person, you could probably go look back through their feeds. There was a really cool conversation that Gail Simone and Ed Brubaker had on Twitter Sunday in regards to like just their mindset in writing villains and what they do when writing villains, how they like to choose what villains they write. And that was a really good conversation. And that's like, that's what Twitter should be about, you know, for creators to have conversations like that. As opposed to, you know, this sort of public, sniping.
Mm-hmm. And to say it, sometimes the fans are the same way, too, you know, mostly negative stuff. So I'm with you. I try to keep, you know, after I've talked to you a couple of times, I try to keep my Twitter things positive or goofy or stupid, you know, right. Just have a good time on there.
I know. Sometimes I get a little bent out of shape about podcasts, but I try to keep it, you know, I would say I'm about 85 to 90% positive on my Twitter.
I would say that too if I knew what you were talking about most of the time.
Right. And when I'm negative, I'm cryptic enough that nobody knows what I'm talking about, but except for the few people that block me.
Ah. Well, I don't know. I'm probably blocked too. I just don't know how to work the Twitter machine. I know how to send them out there and talk to Rob occasionally.
Well, I will say this, just one last thing. We're wrapping up the Rob talk. There is one piece of breaking news that I do need to mention so that we're not so far behind things. This broke just as literally within a half hour of us recording the show. And I'll read this directly from the Hollywood Reporter, Variety, etc.
Should I do like a
No. By the time the show drops, everyone will know this. But again, just right. So that we're kind of like right on top of it as well, ABC has given pilot orders to S.H.I.E.L.D. with Avengers scribe Joss Whedon on board to co-write the project. ABC Studios given the green light to start making and writing the pilots for the next pilot season. So the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show is a go.
Are we having the S.H.I.E.L.D. party at your house or mine on the, yes. The premiere night?
Well, again, the fact that it got moved along this quickly, like they just announced it at the quarterly meetings like about a month ago. Mm-hmm. And now here we are, all of a sudden they're like, yep, pilot orders, get working on it. Like, don't waste any time.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that'll be a summer, like, you know, refill kind of a thing? Because it's too late for the fall.
Yes, so, definitely, you know? Too late for the fall. We could, you know, and again, I wouldn't want to see it as early as February. I'd like to see them take their time for it. But as a nice, like, 6-episode summer, you know, replacement-y show.
Mm-hmm. When I said refill, I meant replace.
Yes. No, I knew what you meant. I knew what you meant.
Yeah, I'm dumb sometimes. But go ahead.
So, yeah, the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show, which ties into the Avengers movie universe, is moving along much quicker than a lot of TV projects happen.
I think it's going to be Agent Coulson. Send in your Captain America cards to Disney so we get Agent Coulson in the TV show.
Well, he's dead, blood covered. Isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Death and dead in Marvel related stuff. That's never been turned around.
And you know what? And one last thing with the news, and we're kind of like bringing up more news story. What was the thing you mentioned to me about the Avengers DVD, which I think comes out this week?
Yes, the DVD has an exclusive. You know how they're having those? What are they calling the Marvel ones? They're not year ones like the DC ones.
Season ones. Yes.
That at Walmart is the the DVD is going to have an exclusive season one trade paperback written by Peter David. No artist as of yet.
Ooh.
He announced it the other day. He's like, oh my God, I get to scoop Bleeding Cool. I thought that was funny. But I want this book, but I don't, you know, want to have to buy Avengers, the DVD to get it, because I'll probably pick up Avengers at some point down the line, but I would like, you know, once they run out of movies, which will be for years, maybe buy a nice box set. So I'm hoping that Marvel will eventually release this in shops afterwards, because I have just about, like, you know, everything Peter David's done since he was on Hulk, with the exception of a few books that, you know, that I just didn't fly with me. So I'm kind of a little upset about this.
Really?
Yeah. I just don't think I have to buy a DVD to buy a Marvel trade paperback.
Well, were you really buying all the season one books?
No, but I was going to buy if you had switched this with any other, if you put Peter David on any of the season one books that were coming out that weren't on the DVD, I would have bought them. I don't like any of the creators. None of the creators draw me on the season one book, but I'm a huge Peter David fan. So I want that trade paperback.
Yeah, I'll definitely, you know what, and that's the thing, I'm not buying the DVD, because I'm more so of a digital person these days, just so I don't have tons and tons of DVDs laying around. It's easier for me to have everything digitally, but this would get me to buy the DVD. I'll probably wait for the price to come down, like around Christmas time when Best Buy's having like a 2-for-15, Walmart's having a 2-for-15 sale.
But what if the exclusive is for the first so many?
I'm sure that it'll come out eventually.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm not really that I'm not like raging mad. I'm not like the way you get with Ryan Reynolds and stuff like that. But
that's correct.
I'm pretty mad.
Oh man!
But I'll survive. You know me. I'm a survivor.
You know, if you're nice, maybe somebody will get it for you for Christmas or something.
I'm not gonna get it for Christmas then. You know me too well.
Oh, goodness. Well, just to wrap up the news, as we were just remembering a bunch of other stuff that came up, and we had our breaking news with the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show going to pilot, where would you like to start with the books that we read from last week?
Let's start with the anniversary of Spider-Man.
Yes, and just to be clear, this is the beginning of the anniversary of Spider-Man. Of course, you know, I think this is the month that the first issue of Amazing Fantasy came out, Amazing Fantasy 15, first appearance of Spider-Man, that is. But they are building up to an issue 700, which is going to be coming out later this year. And there's tons and tons of stuff planned. This is just kind of like the beginning of that. So it's kind of more of less a jumping on point to the 50th anniversary. I have been reading Amazing Spider-Man for quite some time, specifically since the Brand New Day stuff with Dan Slott taking over as the primary writer. This is the first time Todd has read the Amazing Spider-Man stuff in quite some time. Would that be correct?
Yes. I may have tried like a mini or something here and there, but the main book, I don't remember the last time I read it.
So you being the newbie to all this, I'm going to let you start.
First off, I'm going to talk about the art. There was not, I have to get it right out of the way. There was not one good artist on this book. And for an anniversary issue, that's ridiculous. Everybody looked in the three stories, and almost like they got more ridiculous in their looks, you know, with the squinting Spider-Man, which we always joked about, like it's impossible. I understand that you want to show some emotion with somebody whose face is completely covered. Do some body language, because the mask isn't Venom anymore. It doesn't do that. And a couple of the other artists, by like you got to the last story, he looked like his legs were, you know, 1 inch thick by 10 feet long. And all this took me out of the book, and I think it hurt a lot of the stories. I didn't like the two backup stories, so I'm going to just stay away from them mostly and go for the main story. I thought there was some really good ideas. I like the Parker particles. Mm-hmm. I like even he has the Parker luck, even with the Parker particles and some other things. I like, you know, him and Aunt May. There's some interesting stuff. But the overall stuff, I just thought it was not very good and kind of just writing and just ham-fisted at times. I was like, okay, all around, I give it like 3 stars out of 100, out of 10.
Really?
Almost 100, yeah. I didn't like it. I didn't like much about it at all.
Now, see, I, again, being a fan of the book as long as I have been, I thought this, you know, personally was a really good jumping on point to kind of give you the feel of what the book is. I think Alpha is supposed to be kind of a polarizing character.
He's Superboy Prime, almost.
What was that?
Superboy Prime kind of a character.
I wouldn't go as far as that. Like, right. He's not, like, making snarky message board-esque comments.
Right. I'm just kidding.
But he's a bit of a jerk.
And he's supposed to be. I get that.
Yes. And I do like just to see... I'm interested to see where this is going. Dan Slott has not let me down before on this book. And I don't think he will let me down now. I can't disagree with Todd on the art. I don't hate Humberto Ramos as much as Todd and some other people at our local comic book store may. I think his book fits his art fits the tone of the book, but Amazing Spider-Man has definitely had some better artists, and they've definitely had some worst artists on it. You know, I wasn't too keen on what was going on in the backup features, and it did feel a little padded for a $6 book. But I would hope that more people enjoyed this book than Todd did, and can stick with it at least until issue 700 to see what Dan Slott has planned for that.
Mm-hmm. Just being honest, man.
Yes, I that's what we look for, honesty in the show. We don't want anybody, you know, saying things because that's what they think the other person or other people want them to hear. I did ask you to try it. You tried it. You didn't like it. And, you know, that's I'll have to live with it.
Yeah, that's one down for you.
One down. just real quick here as well, since we don't want this show to be an epic just like last week. You know, again, I hate looking at the time. But again, you know, we don't want to hold up your whole day. Listening to the show. Batman Inc. number 3 was good. It just came out this past week because, as we'd mentioned earlier in the show, it was delayed due to the unfortunate events that happened in Colorado with the Batman movie. This is a book that is Grant Morrison written that Todd can read.
So as my Grant Morrison screener,
yes,
you're telling me that this is less wacky Grant and more like early Justice League Grant.
Yes. Okay. Some of the villain dialogue toward the end sequence gets a little wonky, but I think that doesn't hurt the story. It's just kind of more so to show how crazy the villain is. Mm-hmm. But it's a Matches Malone story. It's a reintroduction of the character to the New 52, even if Grant stuff is in the New 52, regardless of whether it is or isn't. I think Chris Burnham's art is awesome, and I think that issue 2 and issue 3 are good Batman Grant Morrison books for people who don't like Grant Morrison.
Hmm. Fair enough. Maybe I'll try it because you're my Grant Morrison screener.
So All-Star Western number 12 we both read.
Yes, what did you think?
I liked it a lot. I liked all the, and it's Tallulah Black, is that correct?
Yes, Tallulah Black.
I liked her focus in the book. She is becoming, you know, she is becoming just as integral a part of the book as Jonah is, which is awesome. I hope she sticks around longer. Moritat's art is awesome, and I'm glad he's one of those guys that has been on the book for all 12 issues.
Yep, looks like he's doing the Zero, too.
Oh, good, good, good. And I like the little cliffhanger at the end of issue 12, even though we won't see any more of that until issue 13 in 2 months. But I am interested to see where they said that issue Zero is going to be the definitive origin of Jonah Hex.
I guess. I don't know. I've read a lot of Jonah Hex origins. Actually, only two. That accounts as a lot for me. But the two that they have, they were somewhat different in places, but pretty much he sticks to certain things. So I actually want to see with the New 52 what they're going to do. And I like with you, I'm with you, I like that this issue ends like a major storyline, and yes, another one's going to start, but we have the origin issue, and I think this flows a lot better with the Zero issues than some books that we've had. Like, I complained about it, like the Rot World, it's like, here's the prologue to the Rot World, all right, stop, issue Zero. With some of them, it just doesn't work. With the Batman one, it will, because you have the Batman 12 issues, 11 issue Court of Owls, and then you have a issue 12 story, which I'm fine with. But this works for me. I'm just glad that we weren't in the middle of something. It's like, oh, wait a month. So I really like that. And I like, I've been loving the backups in this too, of the other Old West characters popping up here and there. And I want to see a Justice League of the Old West.
And I will say this, Scott Collins did the art on this one, Dr. Terrence 13, I guess?
Yes.
And it appears as though he's kind of found his footing. I didn't like the way that he had been previously over the last year or so, coloring and stuff, but I really like the way his art looked in this.
Yeah, it looked really good.
Yes. And I love me some Scott Collins art.
Yep. And I'm just loving the fact that you're loving Jonah Hex.
Yes.
That I got you to enjoy Jonah. I want more people to read Jonah Hex.
And again, not that he buys it, he just steals my copy, but my brother reads it too, and he loves it.
Does he leave you the little Twitter notepad notes?
Yes. He didn't on the most recent stack of books that I got from him, because he's so far behind on stuff. Mm-hmm. I just got a note that said, I'm too far behind, we'll talk later. And I was getting like issue 9s of stuff back. That's how far behind he is.
Even the Marvel new DC stuff?
Yes. Yeah, like Incredible Hulk and Winter Soldier, stuff like that, he thinks is the part of the New 52.
I would love to hear, like, if he puts post-its at all in the future on All-Star Western, I need to know what those say. Just that one.
Oh, yeah, I'll go grab them. I think, like I said, I have, like, the last 8.
Okay.
And I'll just text them to you privately.
Okay. We have a Twitter or a text feud without anybody knowing.
Right. We keep it private. We keep it private. Yes. Our hatred of each other.
You let it out of the bag.
So there was one other book that you wanted to talk about from last week, and that was Before Watchmen, Dr. Manhattan number 1. Now, I didn't read this.
Right.
I will be getting to it shortly. I've been holding off. I've been reading the Before Watchmen stuff kind of like in chunks.
Mm-hmm. I was reading this, and it's Straczynski and Adam Hughes. It's the first interior by Adam Hughes, and I think they were saying 15 years, which blows me away. And I'm not talking like a page or 2 pages in Fables. You know, sequential, he's doing 4 issues. It looks really good. It's not his best stuff, because he's doing, you know, he deadlines and stuff like that. So it didn't blow me away on art. It's one of those weird, you have certain expectations for Adam Hughes, and he didn't meet them, but it's still great art. Does that make any sense whatsoever?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm looking at it that way. And then the story is told like, and it doesn't ruin anything, in Watchmen. It's, you know, the way he sees things. He's thinking about stuff in the past and stuff in the future. And we're just getting more of like those details in between that we didn't see in Watchmen. And I'm like, okay, been there, done that. And it works really well in the 12 issues of Watchmen. But when you do it alone, it's very dry and very tedious because I've seen it before. But then he does something that actually grabbed my attention. He decides to go, you know, because his thing works from when he was created up into the future, like except when Ozymandias threw up that field that he couldn't see through. So he has that gateway where he can see. He tries to go back before it and actually does. And some things happen that I want to see now because he's outside of his what he knows. And we're going to see like what Dr. Manhattan will do in these situations. And that's where the book came alive for me in the last couple of pages.
Interesting. Like I said, I have it on my stack. I'll definitely be checking it out. But like I said, I've been waiting to reading all the Watchmen stuff at a clip. And, you know, I know you said you have a lot of books coming out this week. Maybe when we get another light week, we'll get into a whole, before Watchmen so far thing.
Yeah, whenever we can fit it in, I'm willing to talk about it.
Yes, indeed. So I'm going to start off here just as we're wrapping up from the books from last week. What is the book we are most looking forward to coming out this week? And for me, the book I'm most looking forward to coming out this week, because I have a light week, that would be the Green Lantern Annual number one. This is going to be the kickoff to the next big storyline. The Guardians, yet again, don't think the Green Lanterns themselves can cut it to keep the universe safe, so they are bringing in yet another group, different than the Manhunters, something else to take the place of the Green Lanterns, and I'm sure it will work out well for all parties involved. But this, to me, is going to be the test whether or not I'm going to be picking up all the issues of the crossover, or just the main Green Lantern book.
Right. GL Annual was almost Mayan,
mm-hmm.
but it's going to be JLI the Annual.
Yes.
And I haven't really enjoyed the book. I don't know if you could tell about the way I talked about it. But it's Jeff Johns and Dan Didio. And I don't know if you know, sometimes Jeff Johns can write really good. So I'm hoping to see a send off, you know, that's really cool. And then I expect this to tie into either what's going on in Justice League or the new Justice League book with Johns and Finch, like, you know, just a stepping off point and to see where some of these characters are going to go. Cause I love Booster Gold. So I'm hoping we get some information on it, so that's why I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, definitely, and like we mentioned before, it may be the jumping off point of the new Justice League book that we talked about earlier in the show, or it may not be. You never know. Definitely check it out. It's Jeff Johns written stuff. If you like the Jeff Johns, definitely check it out.
Yes.
So
Twitter question time.
Yes, Twitter question time. Twitter question from last week, as we mentioned at the very top of the show, was what is your favorite alien race in all of comics? And as I mentioned before, we did get a lot of interesting choices and lots of new people chiming in, which I always like to see. Some of my favorites that I do want to point out, from our longtime listeners, people like Zeus Ramos, who mentioned the Dominators, Cusack clone on the Twitter machine, the Dominators from the old Invasion book, from what was that, like the late 80s was the Invasion book?
Yeah, but they're really the villains in Legion of Superheroes.
Yes.
That's in the future. That this was them in our time.
Rick Williams, Free Karate Chops, mentioned the Caesarians, which is the race that Lobo was a part of. And again, someone whose actual name I think might be kind of like a fifth world imp sort of name, so I'm not even going to try to pronounce his actual name, but his Twitter handle is Young Based Jones, and he had said the Martians of the DC Universe, whether it be John Jones, Megan, what's her name, Martian Girl, those are good ones too. Then some of the Marvel ones, we had Craig Chubbuck mention the Dire Wraiths, and Vegas Margate mentioned the Skrulls, and the Skrulls were almost the choice for me. I love me some Skrulls.
I do too, but they weren't mine.
No. We did have some other interesting ones. Kevin Hellions mentioned the Galadorians. I guess that's the Space Knights, like Rom and so forth.
Right.
Then there were some other weird ones that I'd either never heard of or I just didn't understand. Ryan Fisher mentioned the Wenathians.
I don't know that one.
Oh, he got us stumped. When I see him ever again, I'm going to stump him.
I do know who the Pop-Upians are.
Yes, Hobby Hottie on Twitter mentioned the Pop-Upians.
Do you know who they are?
No.
That's the Impossible Man's Race from Fantastic Four. So, yes. That's I know those from reading FF over the years.
And the one that almost swayed me was ATD, who's official ATD on Twitter, mentioned the race that Howard the Duck is, that alien race. And that's a good one.
That is a good one. I've never really read Howard the Duck, but I did see that great George Lucas movie. That's where I get all my Howard the Duck information.
As we all do. But that was a good choice, I think. Thanks for everyone for contributing to the Twitter question from this past week. I'm going to give you my choice for favorite alien race. And you might say it's a cop-out. Maybe you won't, and I don't care. I wasn't the only one who said it. You know, we did have somebody else say it. Another longtime listener, Mike Schaefer, on the Twitter mentioned the Kryptonians. And that's who I chose, specifically Superman. And he took the words right out of my mouth. He said it's much better when there's not hundreds of them running around. When he truly is the last son of Krypton, that's what makes him awesome and special.
Kryptonians are awesome.
Yes.
Mine, somebody also mentioned, the Martians from the DC Universe. And if you want to see some really cool, like, Martian stuff, because we really only see John Jones's stuff in the old DC universe, there was an Ostrander Mandrake Martian Manhunter book.
Oh, yeah, just, John Ostrander, sure.
Yep, just some of the interesting ideas that he came up with that, just to throw one out there, is like when two Martians want to have a kid, they absorb some Martian soil. And then they merge their consciousness and create a mind, and that's how the bodies are made. So, like, if a Martian, because he's a shapeshifter, loses his arm or something, and it gets destroyed, he just absorbs more soil to make his body. And there was just a bunch of cool things like that, and we found out that the Guardians came to them, and they wanted them to be their police force because they were manhunters. Mm-hmm. And then that's why they named the force after them. There was just a lot of cool stuff. It was one of those really underrated series that I highly recommend somebody go find and try. And I think you'd really like it, especially being a John Ostrander fan.
Oh, no, I actually have that. That run.
Sorry.
No, I do have that. And who was the artist on that?
Tom Mandrake, for most of it. I don't know, maybe all of it, because they worked together a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's mine. Martians. Definitely Martians.
That's a good one. So, again, I do thank everyone for contributing for the Twitter question from this past week. I do also want to mention here, leading into my Twitter question for this week, yesterday, Tuesday, was two different, I guess, big days in comic book. One was Read Comics in Public Day, and I know Todd made the joke that it's too commercialized now, ha 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 ha.
That's my stupid Twitter feed.
But for me, every day is Read Comics in Public Day, because I always have my man purse filled with all sorts of comics at any given time, and I'm always reading comic books no matter where I go. Mm-hmm. But also yesterday was the birthday of Jack Kirby. He would have been 95. He passed away some time ago, but possibly one of the most influential people, if not the most influential person in all of comics. And that is where my Twitter question stems from this week. My Twitter question is, who or what is your favorite Jack Kirby creation? Yes.
Let me think.
Well, for some people it may be easy. You know, he's done a lot. And, you know, if it doesn't jump out immediately to you, if you just go and, you know, do a Google search, you know, whether you use Ask Jeeves or, you know, Mama like I do, and you search Jack Kirby and you see the things that he has done in comic books, it'll be a little bit more difficult than you would like to figure out what book of his is the one that you love the most. Or what book, or what character, or what creation.
I don't want to make DJ's head explode, but I'm kind of floundering back and forth between New Gods and OMAC, so I could say that because he's in his new house. I'll explain later.
So, yes, definitely let us know for next week, of course, with the hashtag GrizzWLQ, so I can find them that much easier. And even if you don't, I'll find them. I'm good like that. I keep it real, yo.
You're the best. Technology is your friend.
technology is my friend and my lord and master, which is the saddest thing I've ever said in my life. All right, well, I do want to thank everyone for listening, and we will catch you all here next week.